Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to come and worship you, to sing praises. Lord, you do deserve the honour. The honour belongs to you, the glory, the praises. Lord, because you are great, because you are good, because of your love for us, because of what you do for us. Thank you for that, Lord. I just pray that as we take some time now to come around your word, Lord, that you'll continue to speak to us, speak through me. I ask this morning, Lord, that you would encourage each one of us, you would challenge each one of us, you would equip each one of us through your word to live the life that you've called us to. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing with our series on being transformed. And we start the third part of that this morning, which is change your life by changing your mind. So it's about our mind being transformed. And the text, of course, from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, God's desire is that we would be transformed. He wants us to be transformed. He doesn't want us to stay in the same state which we're in when we are without God, when we're without Jesus, without salvation. There's something better that God has for us. Now, we still become ourselves, we're still ourselves, but we become a completely different person almost on the outside, in our actions, in the way that we live. And the idea of this transformed, the Greek word, it's metamorphosis, which is, you know, we understand it, most of us probably think of metamorphosis as the process from which you change a caterpillar into a butterfly. It's a change that's from the inside out, and I think it's very poignant because, you know, a caterpillar we would generally think of something as ugly, maybe something worthless, something to be squashed, but the butterfly is a thing that in our language, in our speech, is normally seen as a thing of beauty. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to change us from people who are stained by sin, who are affected by sin, who are affected by a life lived without God and lived making our own decisions without God being in charge, to somebody, to people where the love of God shines through, where the light of God shines through, where we reflect God's glory. And that's something that's got to change. It's a change from the inside out. And God has given us new life. If we have received Jesus as our Lord, if we come to him in faith and make him our Lord, then there's a change on the inside. Our spirits are changed. Our spirits, which were separated from God, now become alive to God, and the life of God is there. But God wants that life not just to stay within us, because now we can have relationship with God. We can begin to become the people that he created us to be in the beginning. But he doesn't want that life just to stay within us. It needs to transform us. It needs to flow out through us. It needs to be to flow through us until it becomes obvious in our actions, in the things that we do, in, you know, the lives that we live, in righteousness, lives that we live in glory to God, in obedience to him. He wants to change our whole being till we reflect his life. And for this to happen, and it says there, right there in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it happens by the renewing of our mind. If we want to be changed, so to the point where that what God has done on the inside is reflected in our external actions, in our obedience to him, in our love for him showing forth in everything that we do, then there's got to be a change in our thinking. We have to change our thinking. We have to renew our minds. And this is appropriate, particularly for this morning, because, as I said, the topic is change your life by changing your mind. And so really we get down to what the whole context of this series is about. If we want to be transformed, if we want to be changed, if we want to be people that show by our actions and show by our lives the love of God, and we want to be obedient to God, we want to be fulfilling what he's created us to be, what he's made us to be, there's got to be a change in our thinking. Now, this week, I had some issues with my computer. Now, mostly, I find that with my computer, when there's a problem, there's a loose nut somewhere between the chair and the keyboard. But the problem was actually in the computer this time. It was getting slower and slower, and actually to the point where yesterday I wouldn't even open the internet. And by last night, I was ready to lay hands on it, to knock some sense into it, whatever. But the problem wasn't anything that I could fix from the outside. I mean, maybe Fonzie could have, if you remember watching Happy Days, just tapping it the right way, but I'm not Fonzie. It wasn't going to work. What it had is somewhere in an automatic download, it had downloaded some stuff which wasn't able to handle. So I was ready to do something external to it, but the problem was internal. And we think, well, that's crazy. If a computer's having a problem, of course it's got to be internal. But it's the same thing with us. So often we might look at our outward actions, the things that we do, and we might be disappointed with them. But it's not the outward that's the problem. There's a problem on the inside if there's a problem with our actions, whether it's disobedience, whether it's not being loving, whether it's losing our temper, whether it's sinning, whatever it is. Whatever form of sin we might say, there's a problem on the inside. Now, God has dealt with the spiritual part of us. But we have a responsibility that we need to change our thinking, because it won't flow through into the actions unless we continue to change us, allow that to change us on the inside, to change our thinking. And if you're like me, then sometimes you want to give yourself a head slap. But that's not really going to change things. What needs to change is my thinking before I can reflect that. And so God wants to do that. He wants to renew our mind. He wants to change our thinking. But this doesn't just happen automatically. It's not like, at the show, every child player wins a prize. We just turn up and God changes our thinking. There are things that we have to do. We have to position ourselves. We have to be obedient in many areas for our thinking to change. We have to position ourselves to allow God to work in us, to work these changes in our minds. So in short, we could say we have to manage our minds. And that is our responsibility. Because God is more interested in changing my mind than changing my circumstances. How many of us just want God to just change something in the external circumstances on a regular basis? Certainly I do. And there are promises that God has for many of these circumstances, but what he's most interested in is changing our mind. Because as we're going to look at why that's so important in a few moments. But as we talk about this, we talk about managing our mind and about positioning ourselves so that God is able to work within us, so that God is able to change our mind. We need to remember that while there are things that we need to do, and these are things that we need to do, actions even that we need to take, that we don't do this on our own. That if we belong to God, we have the promises of God, we have the Holy Spirit with us to help us. And so it's not a matter of us saying, well, I'm too weak, I can't do this. It's not about mind, not a matter of mind, it's not about mind over matter. Because unfortunately for too many of us, our minds are not strong enough if that's just the case. But when we do this and when we act in obedience to God and when we act in faith, we have the Holy Spirit who helps us. And we can find that these things can happen much quicker than we can imagine, because we're not doing it in our own power, but we're doing it in the power of God. And so as we talk this morning about things that we need to do to manage our mind, to position ourselves, let's also keep in mind that as we do that, we do have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. So we could say, why is it so important that I manage my mind? Well, first of all, because my thoughts control my life. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. We need to guard our thoughts. There's a connection between our heart and our thoughts, because everything comes from our thinking. everything starts with our thoughts. We don't just find ourselves in a position of sin. We don't just find ourselves doing something. It all started with our thoughts. It starts with the thought. As elsewhere in Proverbs, it talks about the miser, and it says, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Because in his heart he's mean, because he's uncaring and unsharing in his heart, then that's who he becomes. And we could apply that to any area of our lives. So as we think in our hearts then, that's who we become. What are we thinking about? Because that's what we're going to become. That's what's going to come out. That's what's going to control my life. We'll look in Romans 8 verse 6 in a moment, but it talks about what we allow to control our thinking. You know, the carnal part of us or the Holy Spirit. Because whatever we allow to control our thinking then controls our actions. Every action starts as a thought. And so if we accept the thought, that any thought that we accept, it shapes your life. So whether that's a positive thought or a negative thought, if I accept the thought that God loves me, that shapes my life. If I accept the thought that that temptation is a good thing and it would be good to do, then that will flow out in my life and it will shape me. If I accept the thought that I'm worthless, that I'm unlovely, that God certainly doesn't love me, that shapes my life. And it flows out into actions, but it all starts with a thought and starts with the thought that we entertain. And so it's so important to manage my mind because my thoughts control my life. I need to manage my mind because my mind is the battleground for sin. It's where temptation happens. And it's also where every sin happens. It happens in my mind first. You know, some things, like, for instance, worry, you know, they only happen in our mind. But there are other things that happen in my mind before they happen in my body, in my actions. So pride, lust, hatred, fear, resentment, envy, worry, they all start in my mind. As I say, some things, they only stay there, but they control our mind and they control our actions. But every sin starts there. And so therefore, if you can manage your mind, you can manage your life. Romans 7 verses 22 to 23 in the New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. He says, I love God with all my heart. Many of us are like that. But we find other thoughts coming in. And unfortunately, sometimes those other thoughts, we find they're winning the day. And then because they win the day, then they control our actions. It's what Paul's talking about there in Romans 7. Things we want to do, we don't do. Things we don't want to do, we do. Because of the battle of the mind. And so it's so important we manage that. Now, your mind is your greatest asset. Whatever gets your attention gets you. We need to manage the mind because it's the key to peace and happiness. An unmanaged mind leads to tension, to pressure, to conflict and chaos, to stress. And you just think about the things that come into our mind. If we don't manage, if we don't deal with them, then that's what so often what we find. We find the stress. We find tension. We find chaos even in our mind. But a managed mind leads to tranquility, to peace, to confidence, to strength and serenity. As I said there in Romans chapter 8 verse 6, for to be carnally minded, or in other words, to be fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. to be carnally minded is death. What's death? Death is the opposite of life. Life comes from God. So if we're spiritually minded, we'll know the life of God in our minds and in our lives. But to think of the things of the flesh, of the carnal mind, the things of this world, we lose the life of God and we get the opposite of that. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, if your sinful nature controls your mind, that is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Hey, surely we all want peace in our minds. We want to know peace. The way to do that then is to have the Holy Spirit, have the Spirit control our mind, to think on those things. We need to manage our mind. It doesn't just happen. Because the truth is that only I can control my thoughts. Only you can control your thoughts. It's important that we manage our minds. So how do we do that? Well, there are three choices that we need to make for a healthy mind. First one is I must feed my mind with truth. And that's something we must do daily. Now, John 8 verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, if we read the verse before it, he's saying to his disciples, he says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So if we want to be free from the bondage of sin, we want to be free from the bondage of worry, from any sort of bondage, then we need to fill our minds with truth. We need to feed it with truth. And Jesus tells us what the truth is. You know, he says, "If you abide in my word," and actually he says later when he's praying, he says, you know, the word of God is truth. So we need to feed our minds with truth, with the word of God. And really, it is literally a feeding. In Matthew 4, verse 4, when the devil is tempting Jesus, you know, Jesus counters with, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Just the physical food that we put into our physical bodies is not enough to sustain us. There's more to life than that. We have the spiritual life, and we need spiritual food. We need truth. We need the word of God. And I heard someone describing the battle within them, which we've just talked about in the other verses, as being like, you know, there's two big dogs inside of me. One wants to do the right thing, one wants to do the wrong thing, and they're fighting each other. And someone said to him, "Well, which one wins?" He said, "Whichever one I feed." I need to feed my mind with truth if we want truth to win, if we want our lives to reflect the life of God. If we want to have peace in our minds, we need to feed our minds with truth. We need to feed our minds with the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 147, "I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words." So we feed on the promise of God. Just the word of God, but the promise of God. What's the things that God's saying to us? We put our hope in his promises. That's what he's saying there. "I'm looking for help. My hope. I'm putting my trust in God's words." Psalm 119 verse 97. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 119 verse 95. Though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your decrees. Well, the New King James Version says, "I will consider your decrees." Well, keep your mind. So we need to feed our minds with truth. I mean, in this topic itself could go for 2 or 3 weeks. You know that I love to talk about the Word of God. We heard a great message not so many weeks ago from Jeremy about the Word of God. There's so many things the Bible says about itself, about the life that comes from the Word of God, comes from the Scriptures. We don't have time to go into them all today, but we need to know that we need to feed our minds with the Word of God. We need to do it regularly. We need to do it daily. Because as we feed our minds with the Word of God, it does become strong. It becomes strong enough then to overcome the other thoughts. So secondly then, I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. You know, we've got to get these other things out of our mind. We've got to liberate our minds from them, if you like. Our mind needs to be delivered, set free, released. You know, we have three enemies. You know, so often people just talk about the devil. The devil did this, the devil did that. The devil gets the blame for everything. But often it's not just the devil we need to worry about. The Christian has three enemies. We have the enemy of the flesh, which is our old nature, the devil and the world. You know, the old nature is the source of our bad habits. Things, you know, we used to do before we were saved, and we still find ourselves doing them. Well, that comes from the old nature. It's just, you know, he's there constantly making those same suggestions. You know, we can blame the devil for everything, but so often I think the devil doesn't need to worry about us because we're just so busy giving in to all the other things around us anyway, our own temptations, our own desires. It reminds me of the pastor who was walking home from church one Sunday afternoon, and he sees the devil sitting in the gutter crying his eyes out, just sobbing. And he thinks, well, it shouldn't have anything to do with the devil, but curiosity gets the better of him. What could make the devil cry like this? And he goes up and asks him, the devil says, it's the people in that church back there. He says, he thinks, that's my church making the devil cry. He says, oh, well, what are they doing? He says, they're blaming me for all their sins, for all their problems, for everything, and I didn't do any of it. And that's so often what we find. We blame the devil for everything. But it comes from often our own desires, from the things we see around us, the things that we allow into our minds. The old nature is a source of bad habits. The world, or the world system, which comes to us through television, through movies, music, magazines, through advertising, celebrities, all these things is putting into our minds, suggesting the world's values, trying to get us to conform to those. But whether it's the flesh, the old nature, whether it's the devil himself or one of his demons, whether it's the world system, it all works the same way. They all work the same way. It all starts with a thought. It all starts with a desire. You know, it could be, you know, a desire for something good that's gone wrong. It could be a lust. It could be, you know, a lust for sex. It could be gluttony. It could even be laziness. It could be hatred, unforgiveness, fear, worry, envy, resentment. Could be pride, could be self, could be low body image, could be lack of worth. Whatever it is, it all starts with a thought. It all starts with an idea. If we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And it's talking there about how to overcome these things, but we sort of see there almost a reverse order of the way that things work, because it starts with a thought, and then the thought becomes an argument. The old King James says imagination or reasoning. So we allow that thought to stay. Then it becomes an argument, you know, a way of reasoning. Think, yeah, that would be good. That's okay. I deserve it. That won't hurt me. They deserve some sort of punishment for what they did to me. And so we convince ourselves that this thought then is right. And then it becomes an action and becomes a stronghold. A stronghold really is an entrenched way of living. a lie that I believe. Not a lie that I believe just for a moment, but a lie that I build my life on. Could be a false value. Could be a personal attitude. You know, God doesn't love me. That's a lie. But it's a lie that so many people build their lives on. I know better than God. I don't need God in my life. That's a lie. But it's a lie that people in general build their lives on. And it needs to be taken down. It's the same way that we see that with the temptation with Eve in the garden. It starts with a thought. First of all, the devil questions God's word. Did God really say this? And then he goes on to sowing the thought in Eve's mind that God's holding out on them. Well, God just doesn't want you to do that because he doesn't want you to have all the good things in life. He wants to keep you missing out on this. Another thought. And then she sees the fruit and she sees that it's good. It looks good. Gee, that would be so good to eat. Gee, that thing would be so good to do. Gee, it would make me feel so much better if I stayed mad at that person. If I stayed hating them. All starts with a thought. We see with Eve, there's three thoughts there, but they're building on each other. Becomes an argument. And then it's actions. Which result in consequences. And for us, you know, we do the actions so often enough, they become a stronghold in our lives. Just something that we go to immediately. We could compare James chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. It says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. We see that same idea. Temptation is a desire. You know, it's the thought, but we hang on to it because it looks good, because it might make us feel good. We get a sense that it would feel good. And then it grows. We become deceived. You know, first of all, the desire, it's all we can think about. Then there's the doubt, there's deception, there's death. And for many men, as we look at that idea, the thought, the argument, then the stronghold, many men could relate to that because that's the way that lust works in life. But it's not just about sexual lust or sexual desire, but it's the way everything works. Whether it's that the unhealthy desire for food, whether it's just laziness, oh well, I'm too tired, I'll just sit here and rest a bit longer until it becomes, you know, that I'm too lazy to actually do something. As I said, the same process with unforgiveness, with resentment. The same process works with low self-image. That the thought comes. We hang on to it until we're convinced about it. We're convinced it's right. And then it becomes a way of living, a stronghold. So another way of putting it, attention becomes attitude, which becomes action. You know how easily these thoughts can come as well. During this last week, sorry, actually getting ahead of myself. Actually, last Sunday, sitting out there in a cafe, I've just had a coffee, just chatting with whoever's there. Ed was going down to the concert at the Anglican Church afterwards, so he needed something to eat. He's been across the road, comes in and sits right beside me, this little paper bag, opens it up, pulls out a hamburger. You know, it's about 1 o'clock, about lunchtime, starts eating this hamburger. I didn't mind him eating the hamburger, but I could smell that hamburger. Freshly cooked, it was so good. Well, it smelt so good. Then a bit later, when I'm ready to go home, you know, just checking that everything's been turned off, Bruce comes in the door because the Ten Haves are also staying either for the concert or for the music practice. And he's brought in two big packets of chips for his family. Oh, opens the chips. I can smell the chips. I'm thinking about at home in the fridge for me is cold meat and salad. But suddenly I'm thinking about hamburgers and chips. Okay, that's a bit, you might think that's silly. Well, it's, you know, just from the smell of that. But that's how easily thoughts can come. It comes to our own mind the same way, the same easiness, the same ease. And so we need to be aware of that and make sure that they don't take a hold of in our life. But sometimes we even need to protect ourselves from the temptation. We even need to avoid the temptation. We need to turn off the TV. We need to stop buying the magazine. We need to not watch that movie. Sometimes we even need to avoid that group of people because the temptation, the thought comes so easily and it can so easily grow if we don't deal with it. So sometimes it's best just to cut off the temptation. But we see the solution there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's in capture every thought. We need to capture it. Everything that comes into our mind. And as I've been thinking about this message this week and aware of what needs to be done, but yet, you know, as I think about my own mind sometimes. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's something that we need to do. It's our responsibility to manage our mind. We need to capture every thought. Every thought that comes into my mind, I need to bring it under control. I need to bring it into submission to Christ. Is this a godly thought? Is this something that Jesus wants me thinking about? So you don't have to accept a thought. What I'd say to you this morning is don't believe everything you think. Just because it comes into your mind doesn't mean it's true. And it doesn't mean that you have to accept it. And it doesn't mean you have to act on it. It doesn't mean you have to live by it. You know, another example of how easy these thoughts can come. So something happened this week where I actually felt let down. But then with that came thoughts of being undervalued and left out. And in the past, that's been a problem for me because I've allowed that to stew and I've allowed that to grow and to finally, you know, making even the wrong choices. But let me tell you, it took no effort for those thoughts to come in. They came. The effort was in making sure that they didn't take hold. They didn't become a way of thinking, and then they didn't end up consuming my mind, consuming my week, and causing me to do something stupid. That's where the effort came. We need to take control of our thoughts. We need to catch every thought. Every thought, catch it, and if it doesn't belong, we need to get rid of it. You know, if we're struggling with thoughts, you know, fill our mind with something else. Okay, but not just anything else, because the things that plague us and the temptations, the desires, they're going to be stronger than most other things we bring in. So we need to fill our mind then with things of God. Which brings me to the third habit that we need to put into our life, the third thing that we need to do. To manage our minds is I must focus my mind on the right things. Philippians 4 verse 8, some great advice there. Advice, well, really we're told to do it, so it's a great one to be obedient to. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Focus my mind on the right things. There's some great things to focus our mind on there in verse 8 of Philippians 4. We can find all those things in the Bible. We can find all those things thinking about Jesus. So, the right things that we need to think about. We need to focus our mind on, first of all, think about Jesus. You know, we could ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? But think about Jesus. Think about his example. Think about his actions. Think about his teachings. You know, Hebrews 12 verse 3 says, "For consider him." Actually, I'll look at that because it's worth looking at the whole verse. Hebrews 12 verse 3. It says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Just in case you're wondering about the hymn, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, consider Jesus. It means to think carefully about him. And it's talking there, but think about a particular issue. So if you're struggling with what's happening, well, just think about Jesus, what he endured. Think about how he endured it. Think about what he did. Consider means to think carefully about him. So to focus our mind, first of all, think about Jesus, but not just think about him, but think carefully. What did he do? What did he say? How did he act? Fill our mind with that. Another thing we can focus our mind on is to think about others. Philippians 2 verse 4, "Let each of you look not out only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Hebrews 10 verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Now if we're thinking about others, how we can love them, how we can help them, it takes our mind off our own problems, our own issues. So think about others is another thing that we can focus our mind on. Be outward looking and think about eternity. Colossians 3 verse 2, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." It's a good one. Let's fill our mind. What, you know, the things of God, the things that he has for us. Things that he has for us are greater than what we'll experience here. Set our minds on these things. Another thing we can focus our mind on is if we need to remember who we are in Christ. What's the Bible say about you? It says you're a son of God, the children of God. You're redeemed, you're justified, you've been set free, you're the righteousness of God. Sometimes we hear that taught and almost becomes like an excuse, well, I can do anything because God loves me anyway. But that's missing the whole point. God wants us to know these things so that we will become the people he wants us to be. Because if we remember who we are in Christ, we will grow in righteousness. We will grow in holiness. And we will reject the worthless. We will reject the untrue. Because we know that they don't belong in our lives. That's not who we are. I'd just like to finish from Psalm chapter 1. It's very appropriate. This message is very appropriate. It's sort of almost, I mean, if we were to have a verse or a passage that's the theme of our church, it is from Psalm chapter 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." You know, our logo is the leaves, the green leaves, which come from being well watered. But the first there, of course, key verse, "His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night." Meditate, think over and over. The man who pleases God, the person who will be strong like a tree planted by the rivers of water, he thinks about God over and over. He meditates. We should say the person who does that thinks about God over and over. But if we think about it, we're actually meditating on something all the time. Now often maybe it's our work, what the task is that's at hand, But if we were to actually look at our mind, what's going on? We're actually thinking about something. Now, maybe it's something really important, like the football or whatever sport that we're into. You know, thinking about the lyrics of that song we heard on the radio. But quite often, we're actually meditating on our desires or on the untruths that have been put into our mind. So what we need to do is actually not so much, we don't need to learn to meditate, we just need to learn to meditate on the right things. We meditate on the law of God, and so that's why really we need to fill our mind with God's word. We need to get a hold of what God says and think about that. Because that's when we become strong, and that's what managing our mind is all about. So we have to actively manage our thoughts. We have to bring them under control. As we do that, our mind will be renewed. It will be transformed, and then we can be transformed in our whole being. And we will see our lives being changed from the inside out. Now remember, we don't have to do this in our own strength. The last fortnight's Bible reading, so many of them have been about God's strength. It's been about the physical, about transforming our physical body, but so many of them have been about getting God's strength, God's help. Well, it's the same thing. We need to get God's help into our changing our mind. We have the Holy Spirit with us to help us when we place ourselves in a position to receive from Him. Because really so much of renewing the mind, so much of managing my mind is actually just us agreeing with God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to agree with Him. That's what faith is. When we're able to believe for a promise of God, we're actually agreeing with God. God says, I want to do this in your life. And we're saying, yes, God, well, I agree with you and I receive that. And so the changing our mind is us also agreeing with God. That God says to think about this. God says, I want this for your life. And yes, I'm agreeing with you, God, so I'm going to think about that. I'm in agreement with you. And so much of what this is about is simply changing our mind to think about that, to agree with God. There's a Colin Buchanan song which I thought this morning I could have saved myself a few hours preparation last night and we could just do the Colin Buchanan song. It's okay, don't leave yet, I'm not going to sing it because you've been good. So take every thought and catch it, throw out all of that sin. Take every thought and catch it, think about Jesus, fix your mind on Him. Here's a summary of what I've been talking about for 45 minutes. Take hold of our thoughts. Don't just allow them to come into our mind. Make sure they belong there. Make sure they agree with God. If they don't, we need to get rid of them. Best thing we can do, think about Jesus. Think about God's word. Feed our mind, free our mind, focus our mind so that we can manage our mind. Let's fill our minds with God. Just as we close this morning, you know, the purpose, the intent of this message is that we would go and apply these things. We need to start to do these things in our lives to change our minds, to change our thinking. But if you find that there's strongholds, if you find that you really want to change, but there are things you feel are too strong, then certainly we'd love to pray with you this morning. And also, if there are other things going on, if you need healing, if you want to know Jesus, you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, we'd love to pray with you. So while the musicians are just finishing the last song, it's the time to come forward. As I said, I want you to go out and do this, put this into practice. But as I said, if you feel that you would like someone to stand with you, some extra strength propelling you into this week, then we'd love to pray with you. So Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you that you didn't give us an unsound mind, but Lord, you gave us a sound mind, Lord. Lord, you give us peace. Lord, you give us surety. And Lord, that's what we can find when we trust in you, when we give our lives, trust our lives to you. And Lord, let's pray that this week as we go, Lord, even starting, even right now, we would begin applying these truths. Lord, that we would fill our mind with you. Lord, that we would be transformed. Lord, we just don't want to be controlled by old actions, old habits, by what the world thinks. We want to be controlled by you. To do that, we need to manage our minds. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, give us the strength. Lord, just a reminder this week when we need it. I need to take that thought captive. I need to do something with that. And, Lord, I just thank you for the strength to obey. We give you the glory. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.